I'm going to take us through the shortest Bible study in history right now. We're just going to do the shortest Bible study in history. I have already assigned scriptures to others, and I'm going to go around and ask those to read. Go ahead, and Will, go ahead and start us off with 2 Timothy 3.
Okay, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17.
Go ahead.
Did you not hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Read it.
Okay. This is verse 16. But shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort.
Thank you. That is not what I had in mind.
That's not the one you wanted?
No, 2 Timothy 3:16.
Oh, three. I'm sorry, I was on two. Excuse me.
I didn't double check that. Go ahead, Will. You can have a new opportunity.
Thank you, Lord, for keeping me humble. Okay. Verse 16, chapter 3. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I was reading in the New King James.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Gabriel, please, Hebrews 4.
Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account.
Amen. Boy, it brings chills down my spine, Gabriel. Thank you. Pastor John, Joshua 1.
Okay, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you'll have made your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. Andy, please, Psalm 1.
Psalm 1 is 6 verses long, and they are, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. Mm. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction.
Amen. Thank you, Andy.
Amen.
Rick, John 1.
John 1, you wanted me to read 1 through 4?
Yeah, I think that'll work.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and in the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Rick, skip to read verse 14.
Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld its glory, the glory as of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. Thank you. Brooke, go ahead and read John 15.
All right, verses 5 through 8. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a large crop of fruit. For apart from me, you can't do a thing. If anyone separates from me, he is thrown away like a useless branch, withers, and is gathered into a pile with all the others and burned. If you stay in me and obey my commands, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. My true disciples produce bountiful harvests. This brings great glory to my Father.
Thank you, Brooke. That's beautiful. Will, John 4:24.
Okay. Hold on a minute. I was following everybody else. 4:24. I'll get it right this time. Wait a minute. Okay. John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
Okay, thank you. I'll take the next one, which is John 6. Sorry, and I'm not prepared. I was following along. John. Okay, I'm reading John 6, 53 through 58. John 6:53, so Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. And Sylvester closes off with Malachi 3.
Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I agree. Guys, I don't know about you guys, but those are real piercing words to me. Power of the Word of God, what we read in 2 Timothy 3, what we read in Hebrews 4, about what the Word of God is. It is God-breathed. Joshua 1, Psalm 1 offered up some fantastic promises. When I first started reading the Word, those two promises, meditating on His Word day and night, and you'll be successful in all you do, those are key verses for me to meditate on. Then we read about what the Word is. The Word became flesh, and here we are today discussing the Word today, and I consider the Bible to be the written representation of Jesus Christ, the written representation of Jesus Christ. So what we have in this book is precious. And then Brooke read some beautiful words. John 15, one of my all-time favorite chapters, about remaining in Him. And if we don't remain in Him, we'll be destroyed. If we don't remain in Him, we suffer. And if we remain in Him, we will bear much fruit, and we'll be the true disciples that He's talking about. Will mentioned in John 4 that God is spirit, and we must worship in spirit and truth. I read about when Jesus is talking to the people about eating His flesh and drinking His blood. And, of course, what Sylvester read, I love, is every time we get together to talk about these things, we're on that list. We're on that special list of people that honor His name. So that's exactly what we're talking about this morning, is bringing honor to His name by filling ourselves with His Word. So, my friends, I just want to make a connection here. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they had the bread of the manna that was sent down, and they had water. In the New Testament, we see Jesus making a reference to his flesh and his blood. We also see, I'm just talking about symbols that we read about. We also see in the New Testament bread and wine, as we do in communion. And then we also read about truth and spirit, as we do in John 4:24. We must worship in truth and spirit. And the connection that I've made through all that symbols brings us to the Word and prayer. The Word represents the flesh of Jesus, and the prayer represents the spirit. It's the wine. It's joining Him in spirit. So we must worship Him in spirit and truth. And to me, that is the wine, that is the bread, that is his blood, and that is his flesh. So that's where it went for me. That's why I consider this to be the essential. I just read in John 6 about, you know, it says to remain in him. Anyone who eats, in verse 56, anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. So that's where I want to be. We need to remain in Christ, as Brooke read in John 15. So to me, this is what we're talking about. This is the essential work that we have that I think is called of all of us. I thought about this last night. I wrote it down. We cannot spread what we don't have. The more we are filled with the Word of God, the more familiar we are with Jesus, which yields more confidence, fruit, and joy to spread with others. So unless we fill ourselves with His Word and, you know, talk about these things and get it out and receive from others, we won't have any fruit to spread around. So I know there's dogmatic approaches to preaching. There's these dogmatic people teach courses on how to share the Word of God, and unless the Spirit is in there, it's meaningless, because the Spirit has got to be a part of it. So it's not just about reading, is it? That was it. That was the world's shortest Bible study.